It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
This is the 12th episode in our series, Reclaiming Forgiveness, and I want to begin by asking you to picture yourself standing in cold water up to your waist at the shore of a lake or the ocean. Your arms are wrapped tightly across your chest, and your whole body is tensed as you resist the plunge into the cold. Why am I here? Why am I doing this, you say? Even though I don't feel like diving into the cold, I choose to do it. Diving into the cold water takes resolve and boldness, but after you've done it, somehow you feel invigorated and more alive. To me, that image, at least in part, evokes something of being in the place where we know what the right thing to do is, but we don't want to do it because it goes against our natural inclination to stay safe and comfortable. Let's flesh this out with a real-life example. Is making contact with someone who has lied about you or betrayed you, injured you, or somehow otherwise treated you badly, is that something you want to do? No. Is it something to do? Is it the right thing to do? As a follower of Jesus, the answer is yes. Let me explain. I'm often surprised how few followers of the Lord Jesus seem to be aware of his words and how few put them into practice. In teaching his disciples, Jesus deals with situations in which someone sins against you, Matthew 18, verses 15 to 22. In those circumstances, what are you to do? Here's how Jesus answers. He begins in Matthew 18, verse 15 by saying, "If your brother or sister sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother or won your sister over." Now, most commentators recognize Jesus' instruction is flowing from Leviticus 19, verses 17 to 18, where we read, "You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You should not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." What does Jesus say about loving confrontation with someone who is offended or sinned against you? Well, here are four components from Matthew 18, verse 15. First, there has been a sin against you. A sin is neither a dislike of someone's personality, nor is it an offense that you may have imagined. It is an act or omission significant enough to damage or break a relationship. I refer you to the earlier podcast entitled Six Relational Breaking Points for more details. The second component is that the offended person takes the initiative. Yeah. When some people are offended or have been sinned against, they refuse to do anything to remedy the situation. They leave it all to the offender to fix it. Now, this is not what Jesus is teaching here. He says, "Go and show him his fault." These are words of command, not suggestion. As the offended person, you need to go and show. The word "show" here in the Greek is the idea of the act of presenting evidence, making your case. It involves a clear, honest explanation of what has been said or done to you and how it impacted you. Third, it's just the two of you. Some like to tell everyone but the offender, about how they have been hurt. The initial meeting is just between the two of you, no one else. Don't tell others under the guise of having them pray for the situation or whatever. There's no one else present or informed for moral support. There's no one there to impress. And the fourth component, keep the goal in mind. The aim is to win the other person, not to win your argument, not to win your point. This goal will direct and temper your attitude and language. If you're explaining clearly with the intention of rebuilding a damaged relationship, you're not going to be accusing and condemning. These four practices we explored in the previous podcast, Four Practices When Loving Hurts. that will move you toward gaining and maintaining a loving attitude. Now, here are four cautions to keep in mind when meeting with someone who has offended you or someone you think has offended you. First, be prepared to listen. There may be an alternate and valid interpretation of events and words that puts the alleged sin in a completely different light. This one-on-one conversation provides an opportunity to clear up misunderstandings as well as to deal with wrongdoings. Secondly, I caution, is it wise? Is it safe? It may not be wise or safe to approach the offender alone in certain circumstances. One example of such a situation is where the abuse has taken place. And hopefully this is rare, but it is a consideration. Is it wise? Is it safe? The third caution is, it just may not work. It is an obedient act, and it's an act of love as well to try, but the meeting may not remedy the situation. An offender may accuse or excuse or deny the sin, or otherwise refuse to acknowledge it. In that case, Jesus informs us that the issue isn't over. It's now going to be pursued in community. We'll leave that for another time. And the fourth caution is the context. The context of Matthew 18 is the community called church. Within that community, family language is used, language like brother and sister, in referring to one another. In many ways, the dynamics of this community are, or at least they should be, unique. Reconciliation is not a mere theory in that context. It is to be lived and experienced in community. Despite the uniqueness of this community, I'm going to propose that Jesus' words can extend beyond the boundaries of our church circles. Earlier, I quoted Leviticus 19, verses 17 to 18. This is the basis not only for Jesus' instructions within church communities, like Matthew 18, but also for our attitude to every other person as well. In stating the second great commandment, Jesus said in Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40, The second commandment, is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. Paul adds his affirmation when he writes in Romans 13, verse 8, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. So I'm advocating that followers of Jesus practice a bold love that confronts an offender even beyond the community of church. Even in the pain, the insult, the brokenness, it is bold love that takes the initiative to do what needs to be done. It goes and it shows the other person, the offender, fully but gently, probably in tears, with transparent and humble truth speech. This is the love that cares enough to take the initiative to gain wholeness and life with the other. Is there someone in your life that has sinned against you? Listen again to these words of our Lord Jesus. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Bold love knows it must plunge into the cold for the sake of the other.
You've been listening to John B. McDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. McDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at hopestreamradio.com.